Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
The process of growth in the Christian life is an organic process. It's to be produced by the Holy Spirit. If you're longing for fruit flowing from your life, join us next on Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chapel as we discover that fruit grows where the stream flows. Stay with us. Welcome to another edition of Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and the preaching of Dr. Paul Chapel, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. It's a joy to come to you every Monday through Friday, and wherever this program or podcast finds you, we sure hope that you have come with an open heart, that you're ready to examine the Word of God with us and grow in His grace. Today, we're going to listen to a series entitled Fruit Grows Where the Stream Flows. We're going to study the wonderful fruit of the Spirit, the process of growth in the Christian life that's organic. It comes from within. It comes from a process of yielding to the work of the Holy Spirit of God. Friend, if you've trusted Christ, the Holy Spirit wants to produce this fruit within you. If you haven't trusted Christ, then friend, we hope that because of today's program, you'll come to faith in Him and allow His Holy Spirit to begin that work in you. Don't forget, we would love to have you visit with us online and find out more about our ministry at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. You'll find out about this current series. You can subscribe to the podcast for Daily in the Word and take this program with you and listen to it at your convenience on your computer or iPod. You can also subscribe to the daily devotional email, Rooted in Christ. Every day to your email box will come a daily devotional from Dr. Chapel, along with an Old Testament, a New Testament, and a Proverbs scripture reading that will take you through the Word of God in 1 year. All of this is to be found at dailyintheword.org. Our final message in this series is the study of the fruit of temperance. Temperance grows where the stream flows. Here's Galatians chapter 5 with Pastor Paul Chapel.
For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. What does it do? It teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And so the grace of God is His Holy Spirit at work. How many of you know it's by grace you're saved? That's the Holy Spirit that did that. And it's by God's grace that we're going to grow and live. That's why when I could get ticked off, if I'm growing in the Holy Spirit, I will not get ticked off. Because God's grace teaches me to deny ungodliness, and it's an ungodly thing for me to be ticked off at my wife. Anybody here want to stand up and say, I think it's a good, godly thing. Good Christian men are mad at their wives constantly. How many of you would agree? It's an ungodly thing to be ticked off at your wife. So how can I walk in love towards my wife and towards my fellow Christian? It is as I am filled with the Holy Spirit, the grace of God will teach me to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. And that's what we're talking about tonight. Having victory, being temperate. Don't let your mood manipulate you. Let the Holy Spirit direct you. You'll either be a fleshly driven Christian or a Spirit-led Christian, one or the other, this year. Say, well, sometimes I just don't feel like loving her or him. There again, that's when you come back to the Lord and you say, Lord, as I pray every single morning of my life and sometimes several times throughout a day, Lord, I need the fullness of your Spirit because I can't act towards this situation or towards this person the way you would want me to unless you help me. I just can't do it in my own merit. Don't let your mood manipulate you in the new year. But when you make decisions on your knees and with this book open, with a tender heart towards God, they'll be the right decisions. Don't let your mood manipulate you. So many Christians get manipulated by their mood and they're not following the Holy Spirit. Number four, if you want to have a temperate New Year, discipline, believe that God can bring change. Believe that God can bring change. He is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. Now, I'm going to give you several verses in just a moment, but I want you to write this little phrase down. My beliefs will determine my behavior. My beliefs will determine my behavior. Now, I don't know what the issue is that you first admitted as a weakness tonight, those of you that are getting into this and thinking through it. But whatever that might be, it is imperative tonight that you believe that God can give you victory in that area. It is vital that we would recognize that God is all-powerful and that whatever that area might be, He's able. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Let's say it together. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Oh, listen, you say, Pastor, but I've failed in the past. There again. But God is able. And we're on a journey here. And not one of us is perfect. And not one marriage is perfect. And not one teenager is perfect. But listen, God is able to bring you to another level spiritually this year. God is able to help you to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And friend, if that's not true, we ought to just pack it up and go home right now. But if it is true, then let's get God's help for the new year. Turn, if you would, please, to Romans 12. Romans chapter 12. First, we said, admit your weakness. Secondly, we said, forget your past. Thirdly, we said, don't let your mood manipulate you. Now we're saying, believe that God can bring change. Now notice what it says, Romans 12, 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And here we've studied the word before. Transform speaks of a metamorphosis. It speaks of being changed from the inside out. Now listen, let me tell you what scares me to death. And listen very carefully if you're on the front row or the last row. Here's what scares me to death. It is a Christian and you've been to this church and that church and this college and that and this and you know everything. And outwardly you know how to look and you know the part and you know the lingo and you know how to look just right around pastor or whatever. But your heart and mind are not being renewed like back when in your first revival meeting at your summer camp where you threw the pine cone in and said, I will serve him with all my life. Or when you first got saved and said, this is awesome. And I am not against looking sharp outwardly. We're not here at a beach party. We're here at church. I'm not against that. I'm simply saying, though, God sees the heart. And we've got to recognize that this verse says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed, be metamorphosized, be changed from the inside out by the renewing of your mind. Someone says, how's my mind going to be renewed? I'm glad you asked. By the Word of God. God's Word, the reading of God's Word, the applying of God's Word will change your mind. And it will cause you, and it causes me many times, to repent. And that means to agree with God and to change my mind about myself and about God and to change my way. And how many of you know if you're going to be here 12 months from now, there will probably be several times this next year where you'll have to change your mind about yourself. How many of you men are glad that at a men and boys camp out 1 year, maybe last year, God changed your mind? How many of you men are glad? How many of you are glad perhaps that at a revival meeting, God changed your mind. He transformed your mind from the inside out. You were listening to the preaching, and all of a sudden God said, wow, he showed you. And you realize, I was thinking incorrectly about this area. I'm so glad that God renews my mind. How many of you are glad he does that for you? Listen, the best Christians I've ever known are prone to wander, prone to get off in the wrong direction. Believe that God can bring change. He'll change your mind. Letter E. Become accountable. Become accountable. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse 12, please. If you want to be temperate in a particular area, whether it's your tongue, whether it's physical, whether it's some other area of your thoughts, it may be in some situations helpful to have a Christian brother or a sister that you are spending time in prayer with and sharpening. If you're in a relationship where you feel like you're being dulled because they're not spiritual, you may have to get a different friend to help you get victory. Listen, nearness is likeness, and someone who's struggling in the same area won't help you to have victory in that area. Ecclesiastes 4:12, and if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Now listen, we hear about all these men's movements, and men go to, you know, big coliseums, they all hold hands and they promise to love their wives, and then they get an accountability partner and all the rest of that. Listen, you don't have to go to a men's conference to do that. What is it? Is the idea that God's local church isn't enough? That God's local church is a failed institution, and so you can only find good accountability when you go to a parachurch rally and you meet somebody there and so forth? I think not. I think God has given the local church to be the place for spiritual encouragement and sometimes accountability. Let me just say a couple of things. You ought not to share particular issues of struggle with a member of the opposite sex or with a weaker Christian. There are certain things you ought not say, but in the wholesome, biblical, godly context of the issue, it is not wrong, for example, to go, for example, Brother Weaver here is your Sunday school teacher, or Brother Migliore, it's not wrong to go to someone that is a good example and a brother in Christ, and you're a brother in Christ, and saying, look, would you pray for me this year? I'm praying that God would help me to bring my thoughts into captivity, and that God would help me this year to have a right spirit. Listen, it might be revival for some ladies in the church to come and say, perhaps to a godly woman in the church, would you pray for me that I would not utter something this year that would be of a gossip nature? That I wouldn't even hear something like that. I'm telling you, that could be the beginning of revival for someone's life. Find someone to whom you can become accountable. I thank God for men in my life that have that kind of relationship with me. It's a tremendous blessing. And I know this, I must first be a man of God, because most of my life has been apart from these men here or other good godly men. I've got to first fear the Lord myself, and so do you. But it doesn't hurt to know that periodically there's going to be someone talk turkey with you about how you're doing in your Christian life. You see, become accountable. And let me just say this on becoming accountable. I said don't share issues with members of the opposite sex. Don't share issues with a weak Christian. Don't ask for accountability if you don't mean it. I'm saying letter E, become accountable. I'm not mandating that. I'm just saying that may help you. Sometimes it has surely helped me. Letter F, avoid temptation. Avoid temptation. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. We'll wrap this up. Someone said, when you flee temptation, be sure you don't leave a forwarding address. Ephesians 4:26 says, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your what? Okay, excuse me. If you're talking about something that happened 10 years ago, you probably let the sun go down on it. Again and again and again and again. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. But here's the phrase I wanted you to see. Read it with me, verse 27, please. Ready, begin. Neither give place to... Now, folks, I'm going to tell you right now. There is a wicked evil devil in this world. And he wants to destroy you and your family. And he can't take your salvation, but he can take your testimony. He can take your joy. And the Bible says we're not to give place to the devil. And we're speaking here about avoiding temptation. Don't even give him the opportunity. Listen, if you don't want rotten apples, then stay out of the devil's orchard. Don't get into the place where he can tempt you. Teenagers, don't get into that dark situation where all of a sudden now you've got to make that decision to say no. You say no before you ever get there. Moms and dads, the same. It is easier to suppress the first desire than to satisfy all the desires that follow the first desire. Neither give place to the devil. And I suppose there's 1,000 things that could be mentioned. It may be the matter of certain magazines. Maybe the matter of certain television channels that just need to get blocked or whatever. How many of you realize that everyone in the Christian life somewhere differently spiritually? How many of you realize, for example, for some people, possibly the best policy for them right now is no television? That doesn't mean they're bad. It doesn't mean they're holier than thou. It doesn't mean anything. It just means God gave us individual soul liberty so that everyone needs to have a different standard in some of those areas in their life. But what I'm saying is whatever you need to do to not give place to the devil, then do it. Don't give him a chance. Whether it's a magazine, whether it's certain places. You know, it'd be pretty hard to have a real good testimony going over to a bar. Well, I'm just going over there. I'm just going to have pop. Just thought I'd have devotions there. I don't think so. Sometimes temptation comes with perhaps a magazine or forms of entertainment or places. Sometimes it comes because of the wrong friends. Turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians 15:33. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Peer pressure is amazing, not just for our teenagers, but it's amazing for adults too. Avoid temptation, 1 Corinthians 15:33. And this is one that moms and dads, we need to practice this, and teenagers too. It says, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. Now the word communications there means companions, companionship. So let's read 1 Corinthians 15:33 together. Ready? Begin. Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. So bad or evil company or companions will corrupt good character. So the wrong friends will influence your character in a wrong way. And if someone is tempting you or challenging you to live other than in a godly way, then that is a corruption, that is a temptation from which you may need to flee, you see. Avoid the temptation. Whether it's a person, whether it's a place, whether it's an entertainment form, whatever area tends to appeal to that weakness, back at letter A, then whatever it is, don't even get around it, but abstain from all appearance of evil. Here's the outline. Letter A was, admit your weakness. B was, forget the past. C, don't let your mood manipulate you. D, believe that God can bring a change. E, be accountable. F, avoid temptation, and here's the key to the whole message, and we're done. Depend on the power of God. Depend on the power of God. Don't just try, but trust. I'm going to really try this year to not get angry. I'm going to really try this year to not think improperly. I'm going to really, no. Why don't you say, this year I'm going to really trust God in that area. I'm going to let my wife know. I'm going to let the Lord know. I'm going to trust God in that area. Now turn back to Galatians 5, where we started. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Galatians 5, 16 and 17. And I'd like you to read it with me. tonight. And I think sometimes when we read aloud, maybe we can let it get a little further into our heart that way. Galatians 5, 16 and 17. Ready, begin. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. Now, tonight, every one of us have a fleshly body. Every one of us will have thoughts or desires that are not of God, and so we must recognize the flesh is fighting against the Spirit, and the Spirit is fighting against the flesh, and we must walk in the Spirit and feed the spiritual man through the Word of God in order that the spiritual man will give us strength and an inner renewing so that we might have victory in this new year. Now, let's not pretend like we don't have battles with the flesh. Let's not pretend we don't have to battle to keep our mouth from saying wrong things. Let's not pretend we don't have to battle to bring our body into subjection, or we don't have to battle in some other area tonight that perhaps you've thought of. You see, the church is a hospital for sinners. It's not a museum for saints. That's why I get so tickled when people try to say, well, I'll tell you right now, there's people in Lancaster Baptist Church that, man, you know, there's just a bunch of sinners there. It took you 5 years to figure that out? Any new members here tonight wondering about it, just check with me right afterwards. I will confirm for you that the church is a hospital for sinners. It is not a museum for saints. And the sooner we admit that we need the Holy Spirit to strengthen us and help us in our areas of weakness, and the sooner we admit those areas of weaknesses to the Lord, then we can begin to be temperate in all things. You see, that's why Paul said in Philippians 2:13, for it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. God's going to put the desire in your heart, and then He's going to give you the power whereby you can live according to His pleasure. That's how wonderful God is. And when you have desire to quit or to gossip or to get angry or to do this or that, I'm telling you right now, that desire did not come from God. Because God's going to put in you a will or a desire to do His good pleasure, and He's going to enable you to do it too. And so the secret to self-control is Christ control. It's asking the Lord to empower you by His Spirit so that you can be temperate in all things. Seven ways to develop temperance. Let's read them if you have them there together, and then we'll close. First of all, we must admit. We've got to admit it. Secondly, some would need then to forget the. Don't say, well, I was going to read the Bible last year, but I didn't, so why try? Don't say that. Put the past behind you. Thirdly, don't let that happen. When you feel that mood coming on, mark it down. That's the flesh. Don't let it take control. Letter D, believe that God can bring change. He wants to. He loves you. Some of you, you know He's trying to help you change. He can bring change.
Well, you've been listening to Dr. Paul Chappell and teaching a series on today's edition of Daily in the Word entitled Fruit Grows Where the Stream Flows. Friend, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior and today's broadcast has prompted you to consider that decision, we would invite you right now in the privacy of your own heart to make a simple faith decision to believe and receive, to place your faith in Jesus Christ as your only Savior once and for all. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Friend, you could bow your head and heart right now and invite Jesus Christ into your life to be your Savior. We would love to talk with you more about that and help you understand what it means to make that wonderful decision. I hope you'll call us. I'll give you that contact information in just a moment. Don't forget, we invite you to visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. Online, you can see recent broadcasts and listen to the broadcast. You can also find out more about subscribing to the Daily in the Word podcast. You can download this program free of charge to your computer, your iPhone, your iPod, or some other device, and take it with you and listen to it at your leisure on your own time. You can also refer this program to a friend. Perhaps you know somebody that lives in an area where this program is not aired. Anybody can go to dailyintheword.org and subscribe to the Daily in the Word podcast. You'll find lots of other links there about Dr. Chappell and his ministry. The Rooted in Christ Daily Devotional can come every day free of charge to your email inbox and remind you to walk with God and get through His Word in a year. You'll find links to the online bookstore and Pastor Chappell's newest book entitled Stewarding Life. This beautiful hardback book will help you understand how to take the one lifetime that you've been given with limited resources and adjust them and live them out according to eternal priorities. Once again, the new book, Stewarding Life by Dr. Paul Chappell. You'll find all of this and more at dailyintheword.org. Also, if we can help you, please call us toll free at 1-800-201-7748. Once again, 1-800-201-7748. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.